This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
Hey guys, it's Chloe. Today's episode is a little special and different than what we usually do on Thursdays because now we are officially halfway through the Untangle Your Emotions season on Made for This. It just felt right to take some of the great questions that you guys have sent in and have Jenny sit down and answer as many as she possibly could. So thank you so much for sending them in. And let us know when you send a text to 214-225-6267, we actually read those text messages. So it's a great way to communicate with us. Send in your questions and maybe we'll do some more Q&As in the future. So for today, here is Jenny answering a bunch of really great listener questions on emotions.
We're going to start with one. This is great. Hey, Jenny, do you think we have more words to define emotions now only because we have gotten better at expressing emotions? Have you considered that perhaps as life has gotten more complicated over time, emotions have increased in complexity, and so we need more words to describe them? Let me just say this. I don't know that these words haven't always existed. We live in a time where we are not in the kind of community that every other generation has lived in. So many times in many cultures, and even today in many cultures, they don't need these words because they're mourning together for months after someone has lost a loved one. They wear black. There is a season, a grieving period assigned to them that is long, longer than a week off of work. When you think about other cultures and other time periods, you have to realize a lot of the emotional work that was happening in real life together or is happening in real life together. And people live together. People don't live isolated lives. They live near their families. They live in community with people that they cook with and hunt with and take care of each other's kids with. You don't need as many words to describe something that you're just watching and living together. I think that's part of our loss that we don't often consider as part of our emotional journey. We really are at a disadvantage as a generation that we are so isolated. And so we need better words and we need more descriptive words because I'm letting someone into my sadness for a coffee date or for a phone call or worse, for a text. So we have to work harder at putting words to something that they aren't experiencing with us in real time, moment by moment. And that is a big loss. And I think we need to really grieve that, that there is a world that we're living in that most of the day we're either surrounded by people that don't know us or that we aren't in deep community with, or we're truly alone working in our home, taking care of young kids. We are not in community. It is a big loss. I have another book about this called Find Your People. It is about trying to redeem and rebuild that way of life in our isolated society. Even if you don't feel isolated and you're in great community, it's something to read together that could take your whole community deeper. It gives you a vision for a community that I think is a lot more intense than what we're experiencing right now. You see throughout scripture even a lot of the emotional words that we're talking about here. So I don't believe that these words are new. I just believe that our need to use them is greater because we aren't actually walking through and experiencing all of that together. Next question. How long do you fight for a relationship with an old friend? A past hurt and sad feelings are rampant in this space, and I quickly go back to the pain, hurt of being let down and feeling alone. That is so real. And we get this question a lot. You guys, you all have sent a version of this question in over and over again, and I'm so sorry. And I think there's so much hurt in relationships. It is our greatest place of hurt. There's no doubt. We can go through the most unthinkable circumstances, but if we have healthy people around us, we're going to be okay. And if we're isolated, we are going to be reeling. And it is just the way God built us. And so how long do you fight for a relationship with an old friend? There's a difference in deciding to quit a friendship than to set boundaries in a friendship. It sounds like in this friendship, no doubt you have to have boundaries. That if you are experiencing this person over and over again, and it just feels like you're being hurt over and over again, you probably need healthier boundaries. And I would say always start with boundaries. Always start with just building a little bit healthier rhythms into your friendship, changing the expectations a little bit of how much you talk, how often you see each other, being available less to a friend that is constantly draining. At the same time, you've got to be able to navigate, is this someone that's in crisis and pain? They're hurting me as a part of it, but they really need help. And you don't want to abandon someone in that moment. But if this is someone who just again and again and again has been an unhealthy friend and has caused you pain, I would just say, be honest about it. The greatest thing I've learned in the last few years through being part of my confessional community is not just myself and my own emotions and what I experience and feel when I'm in the room and how God has changed me, but when we talk about what's happening in the room. So when someone's feelings get hurt, and rather than ignore it, which I normally would because I'm kind of, I don't want to cause a fight. I don't know how they're going to respond. So I usually would just let it go if I can. We actually talk about all those little nuances and jealousies and comparisons or hurts or misunderstandings, or I don't know what you meant by that. We do that work. In fact, Kurt would say it's the most important work we do. And I know it's scary when you don't have a leader there to help facilitate it and it's just you and that friend. But I would say I've learned, even when it's just me and my friends, to say, hey, what you just said made me feel this way. It's okay. Like I get that you're not meaning to do that, but I just wanted to say it because I don't want it to grow. And I just thought it would be better if I said it. And I've learned just to drop that in and to say what's happening in the room. And it's unbelievable how helpful that is because it gives them permission to say the same things. It's all the things that aren't being said that are actually the biggest and most important thing that's happening in the room. And so when you learn to put words to those things that are happening, it causes you to mature relationally and to mature just in general with the Lord and with others, because you actually get to the real stuff that's happening, the tensions in the room, the fears, the insecurities, the way something was said that you misunderstood and it pinged you a little bit. That's actually the good stuff. That's where the best work is done. So I would say if you have safe friends, don't be afraid to say, hey, that kind of hurt my feelings. Now, if this is someone who does not want, you've confronted them and they do not want to grow, you start with boundaries. And if they cannot honor the boundaries, you can pull back. But I would be clear. I'd make sure, again, I say this all the time on the podcast, use your words, say what you're feeling. If someone was quitting me and I didn't know why, I would want to know why, because I would want to grow. I would want to understand. Now, I know not everybody's like that, but you can try, especially if you don't have anything to lose. If you're already kind of burnt out, you might as well just say, hey, this is what I've been experiencing. And I'm going to pull back just a little bit, but I still love you. And I would love to continue this conversation and give them a chance to make it right. I just love the way Allison Cook talked about relationships and toxic relationships. I would go back and listen to that episode if you haven't.
It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for over a year and a half, I've been drinking AG1. AG1 is researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal, and trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they rely on expert-led scientific research, so their ingredients are sourced for potency and purity. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. And I love that every scoop also includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. We've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every single morning. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/madeforthis. That's drinkag1.com/madeforthis. Check it out.
Another question we got is, what keeps coming to mind is envy and jealousy. These do not seem inherently sinful. Would they not qualify as emotions? So you have to remember in scripture, all of our thoughts can be sinful. So when I think of jealousy, I want you to just think it's okay if something comes in your mind, you go, man, that is beautiful. I appreciate that. I even want that. I wish I had that. Where it breaks down is it becomes sinful when you covet, when you dwell on it, when your thoughts become rampant, and this is now turned into something that is a sin because you are coveting what someone else has, and scripture, even the Ten Commandments, is clear we're not to do that. So that is when it moves to sin. So I think, you know, we've got to realize that thoughts and emotions, as I've talked about earlier in the season, they really play together a lot. And so this is a perfect example of that. The problem with envy is how it impacts our thoughts. When I feel jealous of something, it's usually something good for someone else. And so rather than feed, gosh, I need that or I want that, I'll feed my celebration. I'll feed my celebration of someone that I love, maybe someone I don't even know. Man, I'm so happy for them. What a great thing that they're in the world building that beautiful work. I'm so glad. And I literally thank God for them. So that feeling, what you realize is a thought can quickly become a sin, or it could quickly become an opportunity to grow and to thank God. That's how I would approach envy and jealousy. Because I know that one, if I hear the word envy, I immediately think sin, and it can quickly become that. How do we deal with our responses to other people's big emotions? They have big feelings and we have to suffer the consequences. Oh, this is so good. I think this is one of those topics that when you come to the topic of emotions, this is what everybody thinks of, is they think of the most emotional person they know and how exhausting that is, how they don't want to be that, and how that person has cost them a lot of energy. If that's you, I just want to say it's okay. Like you are someone very in touch with your feelings, and that's a good thing. But your expression of those feelings and possibly your reaction to people is possibly immature. And first, we have a lot of grace for that, because that tangled up little stick figure that's in the book, that is all of us, even if we're suppressing it. So the fact that someone expresses it as their way of coping versus concealing it or controlling it, it's still just a unhealthy method of expression, right? So I just want to say to you, like, you're actually good at things that people on the other side of the spectrum aren't. And then there's places you can grow. And I believe understanding what to do with your emotions, understanding what they are and how to navigate that with other people is important. And if you're someone who worries, gosh, is that me? I would ask people that you feel very safe with, mom, friend, spouse, am I too emotional? How does that feel for you? And again, don't give them the final say. They may not value emotions. They may not be in a healthy emotional state either. At least get some feedback as to how people are experiencing you. I always think that is helpful and important for us. But if you're someone who has very emotional people in their life, I would say have them read this book and have a discussion with them about it, because what the process in the book does is it gives you a chance to go through steps with your emotions rather than just feeling them and acting out of them. It forces you to slow down. It forces you to notice and to name it and to feel it and to share it and to do it in a way that's healthier. And so choosing, you know, that part of the book is so important for people that are extra emotional. It's just, what do I do with all this? How do I steward this? How do I navigate this? One way we grow, as I mentioned in the last question, is by being honest with each other and being honest in a way that's super loving, without resentment and with tons of compassion. And so you go, you know what? I love that you're so in touch with your emotions. I need to grow in that. And I know you could probably help me and teach me about that. But sometimes I feel just really overwhelmed and I really don't know how to process what you're telling me because it feels so erratic or it feels so emotional. Could you approach me when you're feeling strongly? Could you approach me with a little bit more calm voice and tell me exactly what you, I want to understand. I want to hear what you have to say. But when you come really angry at me, I feel intimidated and I really shut down. So I want to be here for you, but the best way for me to do that would be if you could come with language around what you're feeling, and I promise to listen. That's a great way to kind of bring the conversation, the heat down. But if somebody, you know, if somebody is just emotional every day, I think of my husband while I was writing this book and he was just laughing all the time because every day I was like, I feel sad today. I feel happy. I was noticing every feeling I felt all the time. And I think there's just wisdom to know who to talk to when, and to have a village, not just two people in your life, but have a village and share your feelings with a few people, not just the same person every day. We need friendships in our life to help carry the realities of our life. So just be self-aware and kind in your responses to people. humble when you ask that from someone else. Don't act like you've figured out your emotional life because you're all composed. You probably are suppressing it somehow, and that's not healthy either. So I think just approach someone saying, you know, I'm growing in this way too, and this would be helpful to me.
I have really sensitive skin, and so I'm careful about what kind of lotion or eye cream, sunscreen I can use. But then what ends up happening is I use things that don't really work that well. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about OneSkin. I use OneSkin topically on my face and around my eyes, and it's so easy. You just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and then apply it twice daily. If you're tired of trying more and more skincare trends that don't actually work and just complicate your morning, then I'm really excited to tell you guys about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it really easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide, so it's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code MADEFORTHIS when you check out at oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code MADEFORTHIS at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code MADEFORTHIS. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them, and that's where you can put the Made for This podcast.
Another question actually that came up this week on Instagram was, it was a public question, and it was such a good question that I wanted to take time to answer it. This person actually, I don't know that there is a question in the whole thing. It's a statement. She was correcting something that I was saying that was probably limited in context because it was on Instagram. But she said, I would say don't camp out in the past. Visit briefly and then move on. We spend so much time trying to figure out our triggers and weaknesses and pains from the past and oftentimes never get to the moving forward part. And then she uses the example that I've heard used before about Lot's wife looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, and she turned to salt because the angel told her to move forward. And I want to be really clear about that story. That story does not apply to what we're talking about because they were running from a completely depraved culture that was about to be blown up. And there was a wistfulness to her looking back that she missed her home. She missed her life. She didn't want to go. And there was a looking back and wanting things that God did not have for her. That is not the same as looking back to our past and healing from things that have hurt us in our past. But I do realize where the question or where the comment comes from, because we live in a world that is all about triggers and trauma and you hurt me and I can't be around you because, you know, it's very attitude of victim mentality. And I hope and don't believe that anything we've talked about here is in that context, but it should be addressed all the same. So I will address it. And I will say that we look back to heal. We do not look back to hate. We do not look back to build resentment. We do not look back to dwell on the negative things of our life and let it define us. We look back to heal. And if that is why you are looking back at your six-year-old self that felt completely isolated as your parents fought in the other room again and again and again, and you didn't know why, and you felt like it was your fault. If you look back at that six-year-old for that part of you to heal, there is so much freedom waiting for you in that. Why? Because God wants to take all of our life and bring restoration and healing. That is his heart. That is his goal. He is the great healer. He is the great counselor. So it is not just the immediate. It's not your day today. It's the pain and the grief from the abortion you had when you were 13 by yourself that still nobody knows about. God wants to go to that and heal that. And how I know that is look at the woman in the well. Look at the moment that he was with her. He wasn't enough to say, I'm the Messiah. He didn't begin there. He wanted to heal her from her past. He wanted her to name her reality so that he could heal her past. And he didn't just say, you're living with someone unmarried. He could have started with her immediate circumstance. No, he goes all the way back to five husbands ago and says, you've been married five times. He goes back to her whole adult life. And he says, I know it all. And I'm going to say it out loud, not because I'm mean, but because I want to heal you and I'm going to set you free. And not just because I want you to know I'm a prophet, I could have told you something else about yourself. I didn't have to go to the messiest, hardest parts. I went to the messiest, hardest parts so that you would know you'd be free from the messiest and the hardest parts. So we go back to heal and we're not afraid of our past because he wants to heal us from all of it. I think it is easier to see how this plays out when it comes to sin. So if you had an affair 3 years ago and you've never told a soul about it, I think all of us can go, man, you need to revisit that. Let's go back and talk about that. You can see the destruction that would come from the isolation of an affair, an unnamed affair, and living with that completely alone. You can see all of the road to sin and death that that would cause in your life. We all can see that. And if that's you, I would say bring someone in today. This is literally for you. But where we don't as quickly agree and see it is when it comes to hurts. The abuse we suffered, the divorce that our parents had, the way that our parent used to speak to us and how it's impacted everything about us today. Those we were like, why go back to that? What good is there to go back to that? And I would say God wants to heal all of it. He wants to see you run into your life the way that the woman at the well did, screaming, he knew everything I ever did. She led with her baggage. She literally went into the city where she had been hiding and avoiding everyone. She runs to the people and leads with her sin. Why? Because it had been healed and restored. I remember sometime many, many years ago, I believe it was Beth Moore said that you know something is still a wound when it hurts. Because a scar, you'll know it's there and you can see it and you can talk about it. But if it still hurts, then it's an open wound that needs attention. And I think that's just a fantastic test. If there is something that comes up from your past that you get a lump in your throat every time, then it's still a wound. It's still open. And it still needs the healing love of God. And it needs the healing love of God through other people. And why I say other people is because the tangible love of God often comes to us through other people's real life, like them being there crying with us. That is the tangible love of God for me. This week, when multiple people brought me meals and I had prayed to the Lord in a weak moment, one time, I wish people would bring us food because I'm just weary and I don't even have the energy to think about the grocery store or anything about food for my family. And all of a sudden meals start showing up. That is the tangible love of God in real life for me. Yes. My friend ordered Flower Child. Yes, my friend cooked chicken and salmon. When I say you've got to tell other people, it's because as you do, you will heal. So I think of my friend who confessed to me an abortion. I was the very first person she had ever shared it with. And it had happened a decade earlier. And when she shared it with me, it took her about 15 minutes of crying. And she finally got the words out. And that was all she was able to say. I didn't hear any of the story. I just heard the words, I had an abortion. She never looked at me. I held her. I cried with her. I didn't say anything. I might have said Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but I held her and I cried with her. Then I watched her tell two other people. I was there and she cried for about 5 minutes and she got out more of the story and she said it. Then, not so long after that, I watched her tell an entire room, an entire Bible study of women, and she cried. And yet there was healing that had happened from the moment she told me for the first time to the moment she could stand up in front of a room full of women. She believed the gospel in a deeper way. Why? Because I had had no condemnation for her. Because two other friends had had no condemnation for her. Because her husband had had no condemnation for her. We had all loved her and shown her the real life gospel. To where healing of that part of her life that was 10 years old, for some people it's 30 years old, 50 years old, whatever it is, you say it out loud and then there is healing that happens because we experience the gospel in community. We believe the gospel in our heart and our mind, but we experience the gospel in community. So I think all these questions actually led to a wonderful theme and a way to close, which is we need each other. It is not enough for you to drive around and listen to my podcast, for you to be walking by yourself right now and listen to my podcast. You need to make a phone call today. You need to share your life, your emotions, your hurts, your past. You need to share that with real life people in deep community. And so if you don't have that, I would so encourage you to pick up Find Your People, join a church, start serving, join a small group, brave it. It will not be easy, I can promise you that, but I promise you there won't be anything that shapes your life more than the deep community you choose in the coming years.
Guess what, guys? Untangle Your Emotions is the first book that Circle 31 is going to do together as a community. And we're so excited about partnering with Proverbs 31 Ministries because they have launched a new way to read books virtually and in the community Circle 31. So we're celebrating with them as they pick Jenny's newest book, Untangle Your Emotions, as their first read. If you are looking to read for the first time or read again alongside our friends at P31, this is your chance because they kick off things May 1st. It was really fun developing a special P31 edition of Untangle Your Emotions that has extra Bible verses for all the different things that you might feel throughout the day in the back of the book. So we'll make sure to put the link in the show notes so that you guys can find more information on the Circle 31 Book Club and where to find the special edition. See you next time on another episode of the Made for This podcast.